A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day. Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Todd Bennis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We wanted to begin this hour and talk about pumpkins because it's really a thing, Todd, that everyone has. We're talking, it used to be you'd buy a couple pumpkins or you'd buy as many pumpkins as you had kids and you'd carve them and that would be the deal.
But it now, would be.
But now they buy them, they don't carve them, they stack them up. And I am to blame, too. Like, I have several different varieties on my porch. And so now there are all these pumpkins that are still sitting on people's porches.
Yeah, it's a thing to get the straw bales, the corn stalks, and pumpkins. And I think it looks quite nice.
Oh, they're beautiful.
They are. But what do
you do? But now we've got all these pumpkins.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Christmas, and they're not going to want pumpkins at Christmas.
Yes. Now, my son and his friends have started, and this is totally not super off. They've been going viral on TikTok by shooting baskets with food. So they were out in celebration of Thanksgiving shooting frozen turkeys, trying to make three-pointers with them. And they haven't done the pumpkins yet, so that's one thing that they could do.
Tom,
what?
Are you really saying this on the radio? I hope the kids are all sleeping.
Well, they
this
did.
This is not what I had in mind. Yes. We were talking about repurposing pumpkins.
Yes, I'm sorry. My mind just goes, they did a watermelon, too. But back on topic.
As long as they are cleaning it up, that's okay.
Yes, they're.
If they're leaving it for mom or someone else to clean up, I'm going to say, I'm nixing this idea.
I'm not even on TikTok, so I have no idea.
You might want to check out what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, when I was driving with him, he's like, yeah, we've been going viral on TikTok by shooting food through basketball hoops. They've been recreating famous NBA plays.
Oh.
With pumpkin or with watermelons and things of such. So we're back on topic. So I apologize.
Scaring me today.
Oh
my goodness.
I think
we give you the microphone back for your full show and look what you do with it.
I haven't had caffeine in like a month and I've been drinking some this morning.
Oh, there you have it.
So I'm going to blame it on that. So back to the pumpkins.
Back to what we can do with the pumpkins after we're done with them.
So pumpkins are useful for a lot of different things. And I'll talk about the composting of them and some of the other uses for them. But you've been doing a lot of creative things with pumpkins over the last few years, besides just using them as porch decorations.
Right. We have done the pumpkin succulent centerpiece, which is harder to say than to make, honestly, and where you can, you know, put succulents on top of your pumpkins and you can have them for months. They last for months, honestly. As long as you don't carve that pumpkin or cut it in any way, it'll last a really long time.
And they make a great winter decoration.
Yeah, and you can check that out on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page or on the Greenhouse YouTube channel as well and see how we did that.
Yeah.
So that's one fun thing you can do.
One fun thing. And this one you could have done a few weeks ago, and you still do now. But I see people carve the top and clean them out, but then they will put mums inside the pumpkin and use it as a Thanksgiving or just a late fall into winter display. You know, the pumpkin will need to be recycled after that, but I've seen people do that. But then cooking with them, and I'm not necessarily saying puree them and make soups and things, you can. But
even with the specialty pumpkins, like the princess pumpkins?
Those you can. If it's, you know, like the Connecticut Field is one of our common heirloom varieties, and that one's a baking pumpkin plus a jack-o'-lantern variety that works really well. But there are many baking pumpkins out there that are super pretty. And you can definitely make soups and pies and things, but you can get a jack-o'-lantern sized pumpkin and cook a soup inside of it.
I have a casserole that I do that.
Yes.
And it's delicious.
It is. And the pumpkin adds a nice flavor to it. And with that thicker wall on it, it actually evens out the temperature. And so you get a nice even bake usually when you use them for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, baking is something you can do that you might look into. Now, some of the jack-o'-lantern varieties are fairly fibrous. And so although they're edible, they may not be the best for cooking. But you can cook things in them, and they work wonderfully for that.
Right. Well, so I'm just looking for better things and just throwing them in the garbage can, obviously.
Yes. And another thing I've done is put, you know, if there's jack-o'-lanterns that I really liked the size of them and the shape, pumpkins are pollinated by insects, and a lot of times it will hybridize and you don't get back what you want. But if your pumpkins are from a commercial grower that had acres and acres of them, chances are they're going to come back fairly true to type. And so I will put my pumpkins in my garden and just let them sit over the winter, and then I'll have 15 or 20 seeds germinate, and I'll just select a few. And I don't buy pumpkins, I just let them grow from seeds from the prior year.
So how well do they break down? Like,
really well. So what will happen is I just throw the pumpkins out there. I'll break them up just a bit. I'll actually have birds come in and eat on them until they're kind of squishy.
Okay.
And then the seeds, a lot of the seeds are eaten by birds, but a number of those seeds make it into the soil. And by spring, if there's anything left, it's just almost like a little bit of a crusty shell that's really easy to turn into the soil.
I think that's my favorite idea right there. I mean, after you're done with that, you've made a centerpiece or whatever you're going to do. Yeah, just breaking them up a little bit, putting them in the soil and seeing what grows is awesome.
Yeah, and so you're creating some food for wildlife. You know, if you have problems with skunks and raccoons, it may not be the best thing. But otherwise, they make a great use in the garden. Now, a little bit more out there, I've seen, well, farmers that run cattle and grow pumpkins, cows love pumpkins.
Oh.
And so they'll smash them with their hooves, or you can cut them up a little bit. But cows, they're very nutritious for cattle and things. And so if you have access to a farm and you haven't put any chemicals on your pumpkins, like Lysol to preserve them, that's something else that can be done with them.
Right. And we did talk about things to preserve pumpkins. So yeah, if you put Lysol or any sort of chemicals on your pumpkin, don't give it to the cows.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Anything else? I mean, I think of the zoo because I know the zoo likes to feed pumpkins to certain animals, but I think we don't want to inundate the zoo with everyone calling their pumpkins.
No, unless the zoo itself puts out a call for them. I would probably leave that one alone unless they have something on their website.
All right. Any other ideas? Any other thoughts on pumpkins?
I'm kind of tapped out on them. Maybe we could have people text in with other ideas.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what they do with their pumpkins, other than throwing them in their garbage can. Yes, and that number to text, 57500. We'd love to hear from you this morning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with your calls and questions, 801-575-8255, the number to call. There is an article up on the Greenhouse Facebook page on repurposing pumpkins as well.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Lord, turn me.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Ton is wanting to go away to Hawaii, someplace more tropical this morning.
Yes, this
is... So upon request...
Yeah, a national song of Samoa.
Ah,
and I just don't do well over winter. I like to garden, and I wanted to give a shout-out to our Polynesian listeners and I'm not going
to
sit here.
And he wants to join you on your island, basically.
Yes, I do.
Right now. We did have one texter comment on the pumpkins, and you'll need to do some research on this, folks. We're not advocating this, but they said pumpkin's good for your dog, so feeding your dog occasionally, a little bit of pumpkin's okay for them. And again, depending on your dog, you might want to do a little bit of research on that. We're not advocating that.
No, that's something that I'm not saying it's bad, but I've never seen research either way. And so if you're going to do such things, we do encourage folks to do their research.
I was saying, I do know that my dog's food is made out of sweet potatoes, and I did have some little scraps from my sweet potatoes, and they did love those. I will say that for sure. Next listener says they just bought a dwarf Alberta spruce in a number 3 container. She just moved into an apartment with a patio that's under a deck, and she'd like to be able to repot that in a bigger pot and keep it for at least a year. So she wants to know, if she repots it, what kind of potting soil would she use? She'd like to put it out on the deck in the summer and then bring it in for a Christmas tree again next year. Is that going to work?
It's hard.
Okay, why?
Well, Alberta spruce are native. The real tree is called white spruce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cultivar, so, you know, dogs come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. You've got Great Danes, poodles, German Shepherds, Labs. So the Alberta spruce is a cultivar of white spruce. White spruce are native to Canada, and like a cold spell over the winter to help them through their life cycle. And so if she keeps it indoors as a house plant, they are very prone to spider mites, especially spider mites, but also a few aphids, white flies, you know, or potential pests along with scale.
But if she just brings it in for Christmas?
For a period of about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to go back outside. And the other problem with Alberta spruce is they are very difficult to get to overwinter in a pot. So she would need to put it in an unheated garage or shed over the winter, bring it in the house for 8 or 9 days, and then put it back out. And then she could bring it onto the patio in the spring.
So
a lot of work.
In the winter on the patio in this
pot? No, they don't do well outdoors exposed in a container. They actually are usually 90% of them will be dead by spring.
Oh, so you're going to be able to use it for this Christmas, but that might be it.
Yeah, and I would maybe put it in an unheated shed or garage and water it every three or four weeks.
In an apartment, she's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, and it's just
About if it has one of those like little closet shed?
That might work.
On the patio there.
Even
but then
on
it won't
the,
get any light.
Yeah, even on, it doesn't really need a lot of light over winter because it's mostly dormant. But if she put it on the patio, you know, it was protected, that might be enough. You know, up against the wall, she could maybe just put, not necessarily a pillow, but something along those lines to insulate
around the
it.
Pot.
Yeah, around the pot. That would most likely overwinter.
All right, so maybe
at least a lot better chance.
Your option. Okay, we're getting a few people that are waking up and texting about their pumpkins. One says that their cats like the pumpkin as well. The other person did mention about donating to the zoo. And like I said, you might want to call the zoo. We don't want to inundate the zoo with pumpkins. But yeah, that's always a great option as well. Yeah, let's see. I think that's all of the texts on
pumpkins. Well, here's one. It says, just cut a few slices of pumpkin and put the normal cat food on the pumpkin and watch. And you'll be amazed as your cats eat the food and devour the flesh of the pumpkin.
All right. That would be fun to watch. And like I said, we don't know anything about pets and pumpkins. So do a little bit of research before you actually try some of those things and make sure they're good ones. I have mulch, Tom, that I still have not put out. And I don't know how many people are like me. I buy the big yellow bag and I'm usually pretty good about getting it out before the season's end. But is it too late for me right now to take that mulch and put it out?
Absolutely not. In many areas, the ground is not frozen. So if you want to like do a compost, you can still work it into the soil. But just straight mulch where you put it on top of the ground, you can do that all winter long.
Oh, that's not a problem.
No. My biggest concern is a lot of times because of the moisture content in bags of compost and mulch, if they're finely ground, they will freeze.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's frozen.
But for some, it still hasn't been very cold, and yours is a bigger bag, and so I suspect that you'll be able to spread it.
I have the side yard that really needs some help, and I think if I could just spread that in the flower bed, it's going to at least make it look better for winter until I can get in there and do some other things.
Well, and it'll break down partially over the winter and improve the soil, so not only will it dress it up, but you will be benefiting the soil by providing some nutrition there. What will happen is that compost and the mulch will break down, and it causes the soil particles to glue together and forms these things, little things called aggregates, improves drainage. It increases what we'd call the cation exchange capacity. And what that means is that when you do fertilize, the fertilizer stays longer in the soil,
mm-hmm.
and it's weakly held onto by the soil particles, but it's free enough that the plants can use it. And so you're reducing pollution and reducing your costs by putting that down.
It's going to be much better than in the big bag, for sure.
Yes.
Can we also protect plants right now by doing that with some mulches?
Yeah, we can. So we had the caller earlier that had really, sounds like she had a hobby of using subtropical plants that are not hardy here. So if you have things like artichokes, and I'm not talking Jerusalem artichoke, but regular artichokes, you can cover those over with 6 or 8 inches of compost. And a lot of times they'll overwinter like that. You can put 2 or 3 inches on your cannas, on gladiolas, on a number of different plants, and it will increase the chances that they will overwinter. And what you would do is sometime in mid to late March is just rake that mulch off if it hasn't broken down enough, and they will come back.
Next listener said that their vet said that they can feed their dog a spoon of canned organic pumpkin puree every day for the fiber. So they've actually been told that that's a good idea.
Good.
Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Thanks so much for spending your morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. We'll be coming back with more of your calls and questions. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.